Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson. Today we're talking with leading running physio, Tom Goom, about how to recover from a marathon and how to set some really good goals that are going to see you running well for the rest of 2024. It's just me today. Ben's on holiday, lucky him. So I won't bore you with a long intro about my own running. Suffice to say, it's relatively unspectacular, but I'm still enjoying it. I hope you are too. Let us know. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. Always lovely to hear from listeners about how their running is going. And if you've got any recommendations for future episodes or topics you'd like us to explore, then please let us know. We're all ears on that front. So without further ado, I shall bring on our guest of the week.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete.
We're joined today by a leading running physio who works out of the Body Rehab Studios in Hove near Brighton, and he's here to talk a little bit about some of the sensible things we can do around this time of year if we've just done a long race to ensure we're bringing some of that fitness forward for the rest of 2024 and making the kind of smart decisions that are going to lead to better and happier running. So welcome back to the podcast, Tom Goom.
Thank you for having me back.
So yeah, let's talk about, I guess it's an interesting time for you as a physio where somebody's gone and they've gone on this marathon journey and then maybe they're thinking about the next move they can make. What would be the initial advice you've got for someone who's kind of, you know, run a marathon over the previous month?
Yeah, so the first thing is obviously thinking about enough recovery time post-marathon, because sometimes we want to jump straight back on it, you know, get up to high training levels, but we do need a little bit of time to recover. And it varies individual to individual, but roughly about 4 weeks we think is probably needed to recover from that marathon time. So it's using that time to, you know, get your energy levels back, you know, work with what feels manageable for you in terms of running and focusing on your sleep, your nutrition, that side of things really.
And would you say that you need a kind of full month off, or what should that kind of month look like? Is it kind of graduated return? And I'm just kind of conscious some people want to just jump straight back into it, but what's your advice?
I quite like doing what I call a reverse taper. So when you come to a marathon, you know, most people will spend typically about 3 weeks tapering down to the marathon. So, you know, that the training volume will reduce during those weeks, so they're nice and fresh for race day. And I think you can kind of do the reverse afterwards. So I would typically, you know, come back over a period of about 3 to 4 weeks to whatever your goal level is. Like it usually isn't going to be quite as high as it was pre-marathon. So absolutely people can run that first week if they feel that they want to and they're able to, but it usually is going to be nice, short, easy sessions, not typically high intensity or long, challenging, grueling sessions a few days after doing a marathon.
What would be the dangers of getting that wrong then and going, right, I'm so fit now, I need to just go and jump straight back into like intense training?
Well, actually, there would be an increased risk of injury. You know, when you're running on tired, fatigued legs that have, you know, recently done a big distance race, you're going to increase that risk of various different injuries that are fatigue related. And I've made this mistake myself. I felt really fit after one marathon and the following weekend decided to go out and do a half marathon on the downs and got about 9 miles in, and my ITB was screaming at me saying, what are you doing? Like, I'm not ready for this yet. And fortunately, it settled very quickly. But we do see stuff like that. If we don't give enough time to recover, often we'll start to pick up an injury, and then we've got to spend some time managing that, which we can avoid if we recover enough.
I love it when physios get something wrong, Tom. It makes me feel like you're human beings too. You know, you're kind of prone to the same errors of judgment as the rest of us.
Absolutely. I think it's important. Like, we're all human, and there's something about running. We love running, and it kind of stops that sensible part of us sometimes from working, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're talking about graduated return then, a kind of reverse taper. That's what we want to do. Runners start dreaming, don't they, as well after the marathon. They start thinking about other things they might do. What are some of the good ways to use the fitness that you've accrued over those months? Because it can be a kind of passport to other running adventures, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea to, you know, in that recovery time, think about what your next goals are. You know, have you got another race on the horizon? Do you fancy doing another marathon at some point? And then try and maintain your training at a level that helps you with that. Because the biggest time we see people get injured is during a build-up. So let's say you've done your marathon, you think, right, I'm going to take 6 weeks off, I'm going to completely relax over the summer, and then I'll start again in the autumn. Well, when you then start rebuilding, that's where people get all sorts of aches and pains when the body's no longer used to running. Whereas let's say you think, okay, I might do another marathon later in the year or even next year, do another spring one. If you were to maintain your training at a reasonable level, particularly the long run, if you keep that ticking along somewhere around about maybe 13 to 15 miles, something like that, when it comes to that next marathon, you've only really got to build up towards that peak mileage. You don't have quite so far to go. So I think that, you know, that can really take advantage of the fitness and the running tolerance you've got if you maintain a decent level that suits your goals.
I guess a maintenance plan would vary, wouldn't it? I guess individually on what your fitness level is. Could you give us a sense of maybe how that might differ from a kind of traditional race plan?
Yeah, so it depends. Obviously, if you don't have a race coming up, you know, you've got that freedom to train however you want to. So there's a few different ways you could approach it. You could go to for stabilizing your training for a period of time where you say, okay, well, I'm just going to spend the summer focusing on doing a long run of, say, you know, 13 miles and keeping two slightly shorter ones in a week. I'm just going to keep it stable. Just going to enjoy that. And that's a good way of kind of consolidating progress. Your injury risk is very, very low during that period.
Yeah.
Now, if you choose to do that, that might allow you to focus on a different part of training. So you might say, okay, well, I'm going to keep my running stable. I'm not going to change that too much, but I am going to bring in some strength and conditioning a couple of times a week. So I'm going to have maybe 6 to 8 weeks where instead of pushing my running every week, which is always hard to do, I'm going to keep the running ticking along, and I'm going to focus on a couple of good quality strength sessions, because we know that can be really beneficial for running economy and performance. So that might be one way to go about it. Or you think about, like, if you do have a race coming up, you tweak your training to suit that particular race. So let's say, you know, some of our runners at the moment, they quite like doing a fast 10K, a little, you know, a month or two post-marathon, you know, got that fitness. So they might keep that long run ticking along, but not so far, you know, maybe looking at somewhere around about sort of 15K maximum. They don't need to be doing great big long distances, you know, 10 to 15K over the weekend, but then they're going to focus on doing some faster stuff in the week to help them get that 10K time down. So the focus becomes on speed. So I think it really depends what your goal is, but you can focus on one specific priority for a bit.
I like that. I think we often say in Runner's World, like, summer's a good time to talk about speed. And from a physio perspective, from an injury perspective, if someone said to you, done the marathon, now I want to set a 5K or 10K PB. Would there be any warning lights flashing with you in terms of, like, where the difference in load or difference in likely injury as a result of that kind of training?
Yeah, so there are some injuries that seem to be a little bit more related to training speed. So always the runners will tell us they kind of know, really. So they will often say, yeah, it's more painful if I'm running faster, or this seemed to come on when I was really pushing my training intensity. So we would try and do what we think of as a kind of graded exposure to the pace work. And it will vary runner to runner, depending on what they're already capable of. But what that might look like is saying, is having a look at their training, seeing what's your current pace at the moment? You know, what are you actually doing most of your runs in? And let's say, you know, it's 6 minutes per K, something like that. And their target pace is going to, for their 10K is 5 minutes per K. We might say, okay, well, let's have one run a week where we're going to push that pace up slightly. So I often go up in increments of maybe 10 to 15 seconds per K. So we might say, well, let's see how 5:45 to 5:50 feels for you in a session. But there's always a trade-off. The faster people are going to go in the session, generally the shorter it's going to be.
Right.
So we play around with that, you know. So this is almost like looking at sort of tempo pace stuff. You might then progress them on towards doing intervals later where it's going to be, you know, faster perhaps than race pace, but shorter blocks.
And what about someone who's got a fever for distance running? They've done the marathon. They're like, that wasn't long enough for me. I've read Born to Run, and I want to do an ultra. You're based near the South Downs, Tom, so which is great ultra running territory in the southeast. So you must see people who are like that. Is that a worrying goal? When someone's done the marathon, you want to go and do an ultra. Is that more worrying than say someone who wants to go and do a 10K? Or is it just all about how you approach it? And there are kind of safe ways of kind of going longer as well after you've done the marathon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about that at all, really. I think the thing is with the goal is as long as you've got enough time, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The thing that always makes it a challenge, whether it's a speed-based or distance-based, is the time frame you've got for it. So, you know, if they want to do an ultra marathon and they've got plenty of time to prepare, there's really no problem. I will often, you know, the more complex someone's training goals are, you know, the more likely I would then team up with a running coach.
Okay.
Because my role as a physio, my speciality is coming back post-injury. But when we're looking at performance, I'll often work with some local running coaches so that I can sort of say, okay, this is my take on it from an injury point of view. We don't want things changing too quickly. How can we get the best in terms of performance from your angle? You know, because some events like ultras require a slightly different type of approach to training.
Let's talk about injury then, because if someone's done a big race, and they're like, they might think, actually, I feel fine. I haven't got any acute injury here. Like, I'm ready to go. It can be easy to think that, can't it? If you're like, I didn't get injured during the marathon. What's holding me back? Can you give us a sense, actually, of like just like what a race like that actually does to your body and how and why it may take longer than people might assume to kind of properly recover from something like that?
Yeah. So, you know, a marathon's an incredible event, but of course it is, you know, for most people, in excess of 3 hours of sustaining a decent amount of effort. So you're going to get quite a lot of what we call like micro damage within the muscles, right. And the tissues, and you're going to get probably an inflammatory response as part of that. And that, you know, fatigue is going to lead to things like muscle weakness for a period of time until you recover. And that can have a knock-on effect in terms of your running gait. You know, you can actually see different running gait patterns, which can place more stress on the tissues. So you get a combination of different things. Plus all the tissues that we tend to see involved in injury, like tendon, bone, joint or muscle, they've had to handle a really large amount of load, which may be close to what they can cope with. So adding more in can sometimes be just a bit too much, tip them over the edge, and then they start to react.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Is it a good time to go and see a physio, like, after a race? Because I think probably a lot of, I'm sure you see this, where you get like this influx of people before April or wherever people do the marathon, and then maybe you don't see as many people afterwards. But is that something you'd recommend to actually say it's really good to go in for almost like a bit of a post checkup and see where you actually are?
Yeah, I think it'd be a really sensible thing to do. I would say it's often worth giving yourself a bit of time post-marathon to recover anyway. Like, we know most of us are going to have some aches and pains in the first week or two post-marathon that are normal. But if you're really struggling, you know, if 5 or 6 days have gone by and you're still really struggling to walk, or something's actually not just achy, but yeah, it's actually really painful, it's bothering you day to day, I would tend to get that looked at. And if you're, you know, over a couple of weeks post-marathon and you're getting pain during your running, I probably want to have those things looked at. But I think most runners, you can trust your instinct. A lot of us come back and, you know, typically it's things like calf's a bit tight, or your hamstrings, you know, complaining a little bit. But it is something you can work through, and it's not getting any worse. That wouldn't be too much of a concern. But those kind of persistent pains are still hanging about a couple of weeks down the line for the marathon. If you want, you know, if they're bothering you, get them checked out, get on top of them when you haven't got a race on the horizon, because it is so much easier to do it at that point than it is when you're trying to build your running towards a race.
What about something like the mental load of racing, Tom? I think I've definitely fell into the trap before of running too much. There might be like just jumping from one thing to the next. Does that have a relationship with bodily injury? And what advice would you have to people who maybe, find themselves, you know, just forever in a kind of race cycle, and what maybe some of the drawbacks are of that?
Yeah, I think it does, actually. I mean, when we talk about this idea of recovery, we want to have both physical and mental recovery. And I think it's particularly important if you have quite a high, what we call life load. You know, if you've got a really stressful job, you've got lots of responsibilities with your family, you've got lots going on, you're squeezing running in around a million other things all the time, and you've been under pressure to do that for 4 or 5 months training for a marathon, that can be hard. And I think actually having some time to focus on the mental recovery side of things. So, you know, that might involve seeing a mental health professional if you feel you need to, or relaxation techniques, mindfulness, you know, time away from the sport, downtime, you know, like enjoying other aspects that perhaps you haven't been able to do for a bit because you've been doing so much running. My personal favorite thing to do after a spring marathon is use that fitness to go out and do a lovely long run on a Sunday in the countryside, where you're just not worried about your time. You're just going out, you're exploring, maybe with some other people. You're just focusing on the joy of running as opposed to having to hit certain, you know, training times, or even just taking a short break away from it if you want to. That's totally fine. It only becomes an issue when we take a long time away from our sport, and then we start to lose that conditioning.
How long are we sort of typically talking there, Tom, if we're like, say someone wants to just like not run a step for 2 months? Like when did those kind of those issues start coming in terms of like losing considerable fitness?
I think in terms of losing your conditioning and your fitness, I think probably a week, maybe even up to 2 weeks is okay for most people. It depends, of course, what you're doing in that time. You know, it's if you're completely bedridden with a nasty flu or something, then that will have a bigger impact than if you are doing some exercise. But I don't think there's too much of an issue with having a couple of weeks either off or with a reduced amount of running. If it becomes longer than that, I think that's when you probably just want to make sure you dial back your training a little bit before you come in, you know, because often the problem is people take a long time off and then just slot back in where they were, and their body's no longer used to that.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So people recovering from a big race, Tom, like what are some of the the best recovery strategies that people can actually use?
Yeah, so, you know, immediately post-marathon, you know, I think that's a good time to utilize the things that you've used post-long run in your training. Because actually, when you look at the research, it isn't very conclusive in terms of what's best practice. I think it does come down to individuals. So actually, I think, you know, personally, my favorite thing is a long hot soak in a bath. Yeah. And there is a little bit of evidence of supporting heat, perhaps even over like ice baths and things, which we think may actually delay some of our adaptation to training. I would then think about some of your fueling strategies. Again, my personal favorite is a nice hot chocolate. I know it's a bit of an old school thing, but chocolate milk actually does have some, you know, a little bit of evidence to support it. It has a recovery strategy. But if you're really interested in the nutrition side of things, you can speak to like a dietitian or a sports nutritionist about actually getting some key advice for you. And then thinking about the stuff that works for you after the marathon. Again, my personal preference is I love a swim the day after a marathon.
Okay.
I think that just feels great on your body. You're gently getting things moving. It's low intensity. It releases a lot of that stiffness off. Some people like a massage. I think there is some evidence to support that. So yeah, you know, get a massage if that's worked for you in the past. And just having some time for you, I think it's so valuable just to say like, I've done 4 months of training. I'm going to have a bit of time for me. I'm going to pencil out some me time, even if that's just going to involve not doing a great deal. I think that can be really beneficial in people's recovery.
So let's talk about planning though. So someone's got a race in mind. We occasionally talk about the kind of training blocks, but I still think it's not a concept that is readily understood by a lot of people. So could you give us a sense of what your advice would be around that area?
Yeah, so I actually like 4 week training blocks, and you can have, you know, an eye on an event that's coming up. So you've obviously got to have a mind, you know, have in mind what your long term goal is. But I'll often get runners to sit down and plan like what's the next 4 weeks look like. Now in that training block, you can pick a focus. So let's say, for example, you are building up towards a marathon again. You might say, okay, my focus is going to be increasing my long run distance for this. That's the most important thing. So in that 4 week block, you might build for 3 weeks. Maybe you're adding a mile and a half per week to your long run for 3 weeks. And the fourth week is then a recovery week where you're typically going to reduce your training volume down, depending on how you're feeling. That can be, you know, anywhere from sort of a 10% decrease, anywhere up to sort of 30, 40% if you're feeling especially fatigued. But it means you've actually got planned recovery time in there. You're not trying to build. And one of the advantages of actually using the time you've got available pre-event is you can do that. You don't feel you've got to squeeze everything in. So I think 4 week blocks work particularly well. If you're wanting to fit strength and conditioning in, because often that can be a challenge, I would try and have aim for 2, maximum 3 good quality sessions per week. And I would usually try and keep them away from your tougher sessions. So let's say you're building towards a marathon, your long runs are Sunday. I wouldn't want to be doing tough strength and conditioning on Saturday. You know, have that Saturday as a rest day, maybe keep those strength and conditioning sessions earlier in the week away from those tougher sessions. So a lot of it's actually just sitting down planning, thinking, how do I get the most out of my time that I've got before this event?
And I guess the benefit of that as well is, say you were to do some of this stuff, you were going to do like, say, 10K or whatever. Then if you were to restart a marathon program, you'd start it at a fitter beginning, wouldn't you? Which hopefully would lead to a better result at the end. That's the dream, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So that's going to help you get a better time. You know, if you're having to start your marathon training plan for a spring marathon in December and you're building from, you know, you've only got 4 or 5 miles on your long run, you have to build a lot. You've got to get up to, you know, 20, 22 miles. You've got a long way to go in that roughly 4 month period. If you've maintained a long run distance of, you know, 13 miles plus, you've only got to add potentially another, you know, 7 to 9 miles to that. And you can do that across the 16-week program quite easily, which allows you to focus on perhaps some quality training in the week. So having a really good speed session or having some time where you're practicing race pace. So I think that allows you to make some slower changes, which your body can cope with and adapt to, which is going to improve your performance and reduce your injury risk.
Thanks, Tom. If people want to find out more about you and the work you do, where can they go online?
Well, you can check out my website, which is running-physio.com, or you can say hello on Instagram. I'm running.physio there. I often share lots of stuff about running. So, yeah, check it out and get in touch.
Thanks very, very much for your time, Tom. Lovely to have you on again.
Thanks for having me again. It's been really good to chat.
Thank you, Tom. So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Tom Goom, and to you, of course, for listening. Thanks very much, and we'll see you again next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.